I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
So I think before we get into this week's episode, we need to acknowledge that it's a special someone's birthday tomorrow.
What? Whose?
Eric's!
It's my birthday. So we are recording on Monday and my birthday is Tuesday the 19th. But fun fact, I share a birthday with Kim Zolciak Bierman.
That makes a lot of sense. I think you two have a ton in common, like your 8 children.
Right, of course, yes. My lips. Obviously.
Please tell our listeners the theme of your Zoom party.
Oh, yeah. So we're having a Zoom birthday party, and the theme is called Pop Songs and Sarongs, which the original pitch was Pop Songs and Thongs, but I was like, well, that might be a little too much. So it's Tropical Paradise. My friend DJ Tilda will be DJing. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I can't wait to break out my thong.
Well, yeah, you're allowed to still wear one. Everyone else, come in your sarong at least.
Yeah. Honestly, I've been doing like 2-a-day workouts. Like, I'm coming out of self-quarantine looking good.
Looking snatched, as they say, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Well, also, I mean, yes, my birthday is coming, but we're also, Memorial Day weekend is going to be here. Actually, this episode will be out on the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend, but what is everybody doing? What are you doing?
I know. Well, it's because it's like you getting the Monday off from work, but it's like to do what? I will say though, this weekend I was walking around, you know, with my mask on, and a lot of bars are like just have people congregating outside now on the streets drinking, which I'm not going to say one way or another whether I support that. I just think that people are over it and they need like that human interaction, especially in New York when it's nice out. Like, we wait for this all year.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I like that a lot of restaurants are doing to-go alcohol because that was never really a thing. And I feel like they've made the exception for a lot of these bars and restaurants who are now trying to reopen, trying to start making money back again. And I'm happy to run down the street and grab a quick cocktail to go. I mean, I could go for a margarita or something. I feel that coming.
Ooh, I hope that that is maybe one of the things to say. Also, I feel like I want to share this with everyone. I just had a FaceTime call with a psychic yesterday.
Oh.
And I asked her, when will the world go back to normal? And she said, well, normal or the new normal? Because I'm going to tell you, the world will never be the same.
Oh.
And she said, but it's okay. It's just going to be modified. You know, like it just will never go back to exactly how it was. But life will start to feel normal again in October.
October, okay.
Like, I can deal with that. I just need a rough timeline. And so even hearing that from a psychic, I'm like, I will take it. Thank you.
Right, yeah. I mean, I guess October is not so bad.
No.
Well, also, you guys, let us know how you are listening to our podcast, because we are on Spotify, iTunes, pretty much anywhere you can listen to podcasts. But we want to know where you guys are listening the most, and especially let us know if it is Spotify, because you know how I feel about it.
Yeah, slide into those DMs.
Okay, Megan, what are we talking today?
We have the Real Housewives Atlanta reunion part 2, the Vanderpump Rules finale, which was spectacular, and Real Housewives of New York City.
Plus, we have interviews with Charlie Burnett from Vanderpump Rules and Dorinda Medley from Real Housewives of New York City. Okay, let's get into it.
Okay, Real Housewives of Atlanta, we're still in the reunion, and it's good. I feel like we got sort of a to be continued last week, right?
Yeah.
Because the women were going back and forth and Portia was saying that she had receipts. So I've been waiting, you know, to see what those receipts were. And I feel like they weren't completely damning.
No, they weren't really. I think we all love the idea of receipts, but if you present them and they don't actually deliver, it's sort of like womp womp. And, you know, Kenya had tweeted after part one of the reunion that the receipts that Portia had were not legit. Like, they weren't going to do anything. And she was kind of right.
Yeah, because all it basically was that Portia texting Kenya being like, wow, can you believe Cynthia said that? And Kenya being like, yeah, that's crazy. She said that, you know?
Well, Portia, you said you were going to send me some receipts that prove that Kenya was going to go after Cynthia.
I have a receipt in my phone between myself and a Kenya Moore. She basically was letting me know that she was going to get your ass.
Yeah, that's not much. There's not much to go on there.
I think my favorite part of the reunion was the listener who asked the question for Portia, like, what's it like to have the world's most serious baby? Because Portia is just the opposite of that.
Right. No, it's so true. And I've never thought that of PJ because I just think she's so cute and I don't even like pay attention to her actual facial expressions. But it is true. She isn't super expressive and is kind of just always like, you know who else's baby is always looking a little shady? Is Gabrielle Union's. Have you ever seen her daughter?
No.
Oh my God. She throws the best side eye of any baby I have ever seen. It's so good. It's so, so good. Andy seemed to be, you know, a little bit pointed with shade.
Like what?
Well, there was the question about her attacking other people's businesses, but getting so upset when people attack hers. And he sort of asked it in a couple like different ways. And it sort of seemed a little shady. And then there was one other one that he said to her. And I was sort of like, I wonder if he is just kind of over Kenya and the way that she has been behaving this season. I don't know.
I think that he is probably frustrated like I am, where it's like, you're taking no accountability. You call out anyone who wrongs you in the slightest, but you can't admit that what you did was kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
I mean, that isn't the number one rule, like, don't come for people's businesses.
Yeah. I mean, it should be businesses, family, kids, you know, like that is sort of the golden housewives rule, right? But I don't think Kenya really adheres to that. But not a lot of the ladies on this cast do, to be fair.
Yeah. I don't know. I get what you're saying, though. I think also, like, I do feel badly a little bit for Andy because after every reunion, he gets critiqued by all of America to be like, you didn't go hard enough on this person. You let this slide. So I think he sometimes goes the other way with it, you know?
That's true. That's a good point. I think there's always some feedback from fans when there's a post-reunion conversation and Andy always has to defend himself. So you're right. He kind of really went after Kenya, but I think the questions were fair to your point that like some of the things that she said and did this season needed to be addressed at this reunion and he went there. Also, when it comes to Kenya, Tanya was sitting on ready to just like go off. And I loved that she was like, okay, Kenya, you've been talking this whole time. It's my turn to talk.
I think one thing that's really just been annoying me about Kenya, particularly this season, is that she calls out people for doing, like, it's so blatant how she calls people out for things that she does. Like, to say that she doesn't know she can be friends with Portia because Portia called her a bitch in the reunion. But you called Tanya a cunt. What are you talking about, you know?
Right. Yes, I don't think she always, not that she lacks self-awareness, but I think she doesn't necessarily hold herself to the same standard that perhaps she holds these other ladies to. And then she always finds a way to like work around that when she has to defend herself.
Right.
I also really loved Portia taking over hosting for a moment.
Oh, where she was like, Portia from Atlanta has a question.
Yes.
We have a question from Portia in Atlanta.
Okay.
I'm interested in how how Eva was clarifying that the moment with the cookie lady when she sort of surprised them. Eva said, you know, we were fully in your corner. Just because they didn't show that doesn't mean we weren't, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because it did look like Cynthia and Eva were just being mean girls in that moment.
Right. Well, and especially because they ate the cookies.
I do think that's messed up. I just do.
I mean, honestly, though, like, I probably would have done it, too.
No! If someone did that to me, Eric?
I have a weakness for sweets and chocolate and anything dessert-related, so I probably would have done it.
Yeah.
I know, I know. But it's my birthday week, so it's like, you have to forgive me.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to pull that card a lot this week, so just be ready. Do you think that Candy and Todd are still in touch with Shadina? Because I feel like we heard them talk about it at one point this season, that they were kind of having an unconventional relationship with her and that she came to the shower and that they were in touch, you know, a lot and that they had this kind of friendship. So I'm curious to know, like, if that relationship has lasted since Blaze was born.
I'm very curious in general about what happens after the surrogacy is done. Because, I mean, I have to imagine you do become so close to this person and they are helping give you this amazing gift. And then it's like, it's over. So what? You just, you know, it's just interesting.
Yeah. The person's just like totally out of your life, you know?
Yeah.
Did you watch... I mean, it's not the same circumstances at all, but Little Fires Everywhere, or read the book?
I read the book and watched the show.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you know the whole like motherhood thing and how that's a major theme throughout the show or whatever. It is just kind of interesting with the surrogacy layer to it all. And, you know, Candy even mentions it to Andy. She's like, Andy, you get it. Like, the love you have for this child is no different just because you didn't carry the baby or what have you.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. It is, even Andy says it's an unconventional way. It's not the typical way that people have children, but it is so weird to think that maybe you just never talk to that person again.
Yeah.
What did you think of what happened with Eva?
Oh, that was very sad. I just feel like I get why she doesn't talk about it, but I think here's what it is. When she calls the father of her daughter the donor, to me, I keep thinking that it's some sort of petty, not petty, but like, I feel like it almost diminishes the trauma that she went through in a way where it's like, it feels like, oh, well, you guys just had a bitter breakup and he's the donor.
Yeah.
But then when you see her actually talk about how he would beat her, you forget this insane thing that she's gone through and still has to go through because she had a child with this man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy because we have known Eva for a while and we've known of this man. We've known of Marley's father. She has always referred to him in this way, but we really didn't ever get a chance to peel back the layers the way that we did during this reunion. And I didn't expect that. You know, it was part of Eva's story this season, getting Marley's last name changed and all of that. But I definitely didn't expect all of that information. And I felt really terrible. And then, of course, you know, you see Kenya, and Kenya is who she is. She can be so shady. She can be mean in so many ways. But then she was the first one to be like, can I go and call her, Andy? And Andy was like, of course. And I was just like, see, this is what Kenya does. She pulls me back in with these like soft, tender moments where when someone needs her, like, she will be there.
Andy, can I step off and call her?
Yeah.
Aren't you surprised a little bit they're bringing Yovana into the third part of the reunion?
Oh my God. I'm pleasantly surprised that they're bringing Yovana in, because if they're saving her for part three, she has to have something that she's going to bring that's going to blow up somebody's spot, and probably Nini's. Wouldn't it be nice if Andy could actually use the mute feature in real life?
Yes, because there are some reunions where it's just screaming and it gets to a level where you're like, my brain can't absorb any information at this moment because like there's just too much yelling.
Right. I was surprised it actually took him until part two of the Atlanta reunion to use the mute feature, because there was some yelling going on in part one that probably could have used it.
Yeah. So I got the chance to talk to Dorinda Medley from Real Housewives of New York City, this time over FaceTime. So if it's a little quieter than usual, that's why. We talked about what is really sparking her feud with Tinsley this season, what she thinks about Ramona making those comments that she talks about Richard too much, and how things are between her and John Medesian today. Here's that interview. Thank you, Dorinda, for joining me via FaceTime for this podcast interview.
Thank you, Megan. You look beautiful.
As do you.
Megan, do you have a sort of COVID style you're sticking to?
No bra, ever.
I told someone the other day, you know, I always get like this in the summer a little bit when I'm up here. As the months go on, I start to get more sort of sustainable clothing and about that, because the Berkshire's like this. And I think I'm not leaving it when we come out of COVID. My post-COVID style is going to be bohemian chic.
I mean, someone was telling me, she was like, I don't know if cosmetic companies are going to make a comeback. She was like, guys, I think women are getting used to not wearing makeup ever.
Isn't it true? And not only that, let's just bring it down to another level. Like, if when they do come back, it's like, why am I not buying CVS stuff?
Yeah.
Like, the thought of going to a department store and, like, spending, like, $30 on lipstick seems so ridiculous now.
Yeah.
I bought the whole set of Bonnie Bell lip glosses yesterday at CVS. I was thrilled.
That's amazing.
You know the Bonnie Bell ones?
I have like the right lip now. Smackers?
And you know what, Megan? There's a reason they're still around. They're fantastic.
Yeah. And they like smell good.
They smell good. And they create a very sort of slippery look. And they each one has a different tint.
Yeah.
I mean, I have it on now.
I love it. Yeah. So this season, we have just seen you go through so many changes. Like, your home is going through a reconstruction. Your life just...
It's going through a reconstruction.
Yeah.
Your body's going through a reconstruction with this broken rib, which was just the timing couldn't have been worse. And my mother was like, no, it's not. You know, everything is as it should be, she kept saying to me every time I would cry. Everything, well, good. I'm glad you broke your rib. Maybe now you'll just slow down. Okay, it's not going to get done right away. So, you know what I mean? And little did I know that, you know, first of all, if last year it happened this year, I wouldn't have a place to live. So now I have this sort of updated, wonderful place. And second of all, it kind of prepared me a little bit for what we're going through now. Like, my mother kept saying, it all will pass. It all will pass. And, you know, don't be so reactive. Try to understand it's all where it should be. But it's hard, you know, because sometimes what's coming out here, you can't express what's going on in here. I think I say that at the lunch at, I finally say that at the lunch at the winery, that I just wake up scared to death every day.
Breakups obviously go through phases. Where are you and John now in your relationship?
Well, you know what I said? It was funny when that New York Post article came out. It's not like, I don't think you say the, first of all, I'm 55, so we're not breaking up and, you know, I mean, we're not in high school. Second of all, it was a 7.5 year relationship. So you don't break up. It's not like, I really don't want to date you anymore. You know, it's sort of like, we just both realized, and I think women do, that things were changing. And I was sort of moving in one direction, John was moving into the other. And the fact that we never really, I think one of the things I realized, I'm really good at saying, oh, it's fine, we don't live together. Oh, but it's fine, we're not getting married. Oh, it's fine, I only see him twice a week. But after going through all this, I was like, what am I doing? Maybe I do want something a little more. I don't know, but this is not feeling right anymore. And John and I always talked, and we talked very openly, and we're still very good friends. I call him, you know, 2-3 times a week here, because like I said on the show, once you're in my life, it, like, as Andy says, it's like being a housewife. Once you're in, or like being in the mafia, once you're in for life. And that's kind of how I feel about my friendships. I have a lot of very long-term friendships, because I don't really think that, you know, you can be with someone 7.5 years and be like, oh, I just don't want to talk to you anymore. You know, you're very vested in people. I get very vested in people in many levels. You know, when someone eats at your table and sleeps in your bed, it's hard to be like, oops, I don't never want to see you again. And not for me anyway.
Have you started to think about dating again? Are you currently shacking up with someone in quarantine?
I'm with my best friend, Greg Calejo, but he's we've been friends, God, since before I had Hannah. Can you imagine? So no, that's, it's been great to have the company. You know what I realized too a little bit? I think maybe the thing people shouldn't do is get married. Because I think in a weird way, not that I'm going to marry Greg or Wood, but I've been very observant of why our relationship, I mean, 9 weeks. It's not like we've been together 9 weeks, but we've been together. I mean, it's not like, you know, we haven't been able to go out and go to restaurants. We've been here. And we haven't had an argument or anything, because I think when you're not, maybe, I don't know, this is a theory, so I don't want the world to blow up on fire. I don't need thousands of people telling me I'm wrong. But there's sort of a, when you have a friendship that, and, you know, you don't get married and stuff, there is sort of a politeness that is, you're held to a little bit. A standard that maybe when you get married or you get too engaged, involved in someone, you let go a little bit. Like, you know, I'm sure there's times I've annoyed him, and I'm, you know, there's been times where I'm like, And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that. I love Greg too much. She's my friend, you know? So yeah. You keep that sort of safety net. And I'm wondering if maybe that's what I'll do in the future. I'll just sort of end up having a really great companion. I really don't want to be married again.
Fair. I mean,
I've done it twice. I've married, divorced, single mom, married, widowed. I'm always amazed by the fact, and listen, more power to her, because she has the enthusiasm of a 22-year-old, that Ramona wants to be married again. And listen, you never say never. You probably may be doing a wedding in 3 years. You know what I'm saying? So you never say never, but that's not a longing for me.
Right.
My longing now in life is to just be happy, be a little more selfish, be a little more, especially after going through this, just like they, you know, just let things sort of happen as they should be, but really let them happen. You know, even during this time of COVID quarantine, you know, in the beginning, it was sort of like, how long is it going to last? When are we going back? Should I? When? Now I'm just like, I wake up in the morning and this is it. As far as I'm concerned, this is it.
Yeah.
Period.
Well, Ramona, this season has, you know, made the observation that she feels like you're talking about Richard more and more. Do you think that's accurate?
I think that, you know, I didn't lose a purse. I lost a human. And then in the same way that, like, you know, I mean, do you think when, you know, Harry or William talk about Princess Diana, someone's like, God, you talk about your mother a lot, you know? Or, you know, people, I have friends that still talk about their, I mean, Ramona talks about her mother. And Ramona talks about her child. I mean, how many times have we been where she recounts her childhood? Okay, we have to read. And I try to always be empathetic and sympathetic and gentle, because as my mom always says, we create a quilt in life and each patch represents something, you know, and then you add patches and that patch sometimes gets lost, but the patch never goes away. It's who we are. It's part of my life patch, you know, and a big patch. And I was thinking about that. I don't want to ever stop talking about him, not just for me, but remember, I'm very close to his children and they don't want to forget their dad. And Hannah was so close to him. I mean, she considered him a dad, even though she has a wonderful dad. And my ex-husband was so close to my husband. So he was, you know, you don't just say, oh, well, yeah, that guy. So it is, I feel like in some ways I have a duty to keep his spirit alive. Doesn't mean I'm crying all the time. It just means that, like, huh, that's right. I had that person in my life. And, you know, I kind of miss him sometimes.
I'm sorry, Dorinda.
No, but I think it's unfair for people to judge you on that.
For sure.
I think people should be sympathetic or empathetic, because here's the thing, it'll happen to everybody.
Yeah.
And you can see that, like, it's not nice to, you know, say that's a problem. It just isn't. Yeah. I would be ashamed of myself if I did that, you know, and I think I'm always quite sympathetic to Ramona when she, I mean, look at when we were up at Luann's last year and she was bawling at the bar about her mother. Her childhood 50 years ago. We're talking about a half a century ago. That's okay. That's you're having a moment. It doesn't rule your life. It doesn't, you know, stop you from continuing on. But it, you know, it's loss is loss.
Watching this season back so far, does it make you I have to imagine it's some sort of therapy too.
Yes, it is.
Have you had any sort of revelations about, well, maybe this is what I was going through?
Yeah. Well, no, I think I say it at the time. I think I say it with Dr. Daryl when I go visit him. It's all getting too much.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I'm going through something and I don't think I'm handling it well. You know, I think that, to tell you the truth, I think I love filming, you know, and I as much as anyone that we are a great team of girls. I think we're the best in a lot of ways because we're very authentic.
Yeah.
And it's really, we really are friends off camera. You know, we all were just, you know, talking last night. But it was hard to film as well going through this. Yeah. And like, it would have been one season where I wish I could be like, can I just take this 3 months off, get the house together, figure out what I'm doing, and then come back. But unfortunately, or fortunately, everyone, that's when you choose to be a housewife. It's like when you choose the crime, you choose the punishment. You know, when you choose to be a housewife, really, I think, or a good housewife, it requires transparency. And transparency means that you lose a lot of the anonymity that you would have if you decided not to do the show.
Yeah. We see a lot so far between you and Tinsley. Have you reached out to her since she got engaged?
No, I haven't, because, you know, we just don't have, you know, here's the thing about Tinsley. None of us really ever had a relationship with her. You know, she was always, and that's fine. We're really like a sisterhood, the other girls. And because of that, we can have arguments together and we can sort of go through stuff and circle back to each other. But I don't think, you know, a lot of us felt that kind of deep connection with her. She's a great girl. I wish her the best of luck. You know, this is what she wanted to do, get married. And I, you know, live happily ever after. And I wish her luck. But none of us really ever got to know Tinsley on that level. And I don't even think the audience did.
Well, and I feel like that was sort of what you've tried to say, but sometimes because Bravo doesn't lift the fourth wall, it doesn't come out the right way. But, like, what I read from it is that you felt like she wasn't living an authentic life.
Well, I think Andy asked me about that the other night on Watch What Happens Live. You know, he said, you know, so-and-so was asking, why are you so concerned? Like, there's this whole thing, oh, you're jealous of Tinsley. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing ever. I mean, her wants and needs are far different than mine. I don't, and I raised a different kind of, and people are saying, would you treat your daughter like that? Well, Tinsley's not that young. Tinsley's 44. So it's like, right. You know, it's not really my daughter, okay? She's almost my age, but I mean, 10 years younger. So it's not that big of a difference. Andy asked me that question, and he said, so-and-so wants to know why you are so concerned. If she wants to keep things private, you can think things private. And I said to Andy, that's actually not true. Because if I went on the show and said, I'm not going to talk about this, I'm not going to talk about that, I'm not going to interact with the girls, I'm not going to be transparent, then I wouldn't be part of the sort of, that's part of the gig when you join as a housewife. If you want to be private and obscure and, you know, not be transparent, then you should not be on a reality show. And I felt, especially because of everything we were going through, that it was unfair to not only me, but to the rest of the girls. Look at Luann. Luann put her whole entire probation, her whole thing she went through on national television for the world to look at. You know, Bethy had to go on and talk about Dennis. Ramona has cried her eyes out. Sonia, we've gone through so many things with Sonia. Believe me, a lot of times these girls don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Even one of the reasons that Leah, I think, is done so well so fast is because she's not trying to hide anything.
I was just going to ask you if you feel like Leah is an authentic person.
Very.
Yeah.
She'll tell you, you know, and you can see, you'll actually see now more and more because she's, you know, it's very hard the first sort of couple weeks to get your, you know, feet wet in it. But you're going to see, she just, in a lot of ways, in the same way that I kind of just slid in, you're going to start seeing that with her. And it doesn't, and you know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, but she's like, here it is. That's where, she said it the other day, I said, spoken like a good housewife. She goes, that's, you know, that's where we were at the time, and that's it.
Yeah.
But people get so worked up about it as if it's happening today, and they forget that they don't see the fourth wall, and they also forget that they don't see everything. We film for 10, which is fine. But, you know, that doesn't even bother me. I think people should have opinions. It changes. Everything changes so fast.
Well, you girls really, I felt, held Luann's feet to the fire at the reunion last season in terms of, like, this is why we have a problem with you. It's not that we're jealous. Like, we're just upset at this, like, diva behavior. Do you feel...
And you know what Luann did? She copped up to it.
And that's what I was going to
ask.
You're
right.
If you feel like she took...
And then we're like, oh my God, okay, we love you.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do. And that's what we do in this process. She copped right up to it. We all were like, she's like, you're right. And then we found out why. She said, because I was afraid. I was scared all the time. I felt like I was at any moment that, you know, someone was going to come from behind the bushes and arrest me again. So then we're like, huh, that now I get it. Yeah. So that was her protective mechanism.
So do you feel like you got a new or a different Luann this season?
Yes, Luann is, she's very calm. She seems very happy. She's definitely a little, like, more peaceful. There's a peace, you know what I mean? She's kind of like a little more zen. And that's the old Luann. She's cracking jokes. I mean, Luann's one of the best joke tellers ever. And she's just kind of back.
Yeah. Who are you talking to most from the group during these quarantine days?
Believe it or not, Leah and Sonia. Leah and Sonia, but then that's not true. I just talked to Lou the other day. It was her birthday. And then I talked to Ramona like 3 times a week. I mean, I actually talked to all of them quite a bit. But Leah and I have a lot of banter back and forth because she's very political. She's very sort of COVID engaged and news engaged like I am. So it's, you know, we're good like that. I like that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for hopping on the phone with me this morning. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I'll see you. Megan, stay safe and I'll see you soon.
Okay.
There's so much uncertainty in the world right now. It can be overwhelming at times.
I truly think everyone has been feeling a wide range of emotions over the last few weeks, from anxiety, stress, depression, grief, relationship issues.
All of it, which can really interfere with your happiness and prevent you from achieving your goals.
Thankfully, online professional counseling through BetterHelp is here for you now more than ever.
With services available worldwide, BetterHelp is the most convenient option.
You can talk with counselors from the comfort of your own home, which is perfect given the current state of social distancing, and connect in a safe and private online setting.
You can connect with a counselor in under 24 hours. Counselors have a broad range of expertise, and BetterHelp will match you with a counselor that's right for you.
You can send them a message at any time, and you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly sessions over the phone or video call, whatever works for you.
It's so, so convenient. Plus, it's so much more affordable than traditional options without feeling uncomfortable in an office or waiting room, and financial aid is available.
If your counselor is not the right match for you, you can change free of charge.
Right now, the Daily Dish listeners can get 10% off your first month by visiting BetterHelp.com/dish. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dish, DISH.
Should we talk Vanderpump Rules?
Eric, I got chills at the end of this episode.
Oh my God. It was so wild. My jaw was on the floor, and I feel like they included it because a lot of fans have had very loud feedback, I think, about the way this season has been. But I think what this moment did is really kind of tied it all together, and breaking down the fourth wall the way that they did, there's just so much there. And the way that Lisa was saying those things and the way it was edited, where it was cutting to the different couples and people and where they were all at in their friendships, like, it was actually really powerful, I think.
So powerful, especially when you put that like sad version of the opening song, you know?
Right.
Here's to you tonight.
Well, what did you think about what Jack said?
That he said, this is my show?
This is why my show is successful.
Yes,
that he pulled a Vicki Gunvalson, as we said earlier.
First of all, okay, I just, disclaimer, because I know that people come at me all the time for saying that I'm a Jax apologist, which I'm not at all. Like, yes, I love him, but I also understand that he does terrible things a lot. And, you know, but I feel like what he misspoke for sure by saying, it's my show.
Yeah.
What I got mad that Lisa really zeroed in on that, because what she was saying, what he was saying to her was like, Lisa, this isn't even about drama for the show. Like, these are my lifelong friends, and I don't know if I'm going to be friends with Tom Sandoval anymore. Because she goes, this is my show. Jax is absolutely, not totally, like, it's not just him, but Jax is absolutely responsible for the success of the show.
Yeah, well, he, I think, to many people, is the face. You know, there are people even outside of Bravo, friends of mine who don't watch Bravo, which, why wouldn't they do that?
But they know who Jax Taylor is.
Exactly. Everyone knows who Jax Taylor is. So I understand what he was saying, and I do think in the moment he misspoke, calling it his show. He didn't mean it like that. He probably refers to the show that way to other people who are not on the show or a part of the show. He probably does, in other situations, own it in his own way, just because we know Jax has an ego. But for Lisa to react the way that she did, I also get where she was coming from, because she was like, hold on. Like, she's not just on the show. She's an executive producer of the show. And she's like, none of you would be here if it wasn't for me. And that also says something, I think, about Lisa's ego in a lot of ways.
I think so, too.
So, I mean, a conversation between the two of them, I think it's a bit of a push and pull. Like, they both depend on and need each other, and they have very much so. Yes. In the last 8 years, 9 years.
And I will say, I feel like Ariana had this struggle with Lisa last season, because she was kind of saying the way that you downplay Sandoval and Schwartz's responsibilities and TomTom, and it's always, oh, the boys, they don't know anything, I know everything. But I feel like the subtext of that relation, of what that conversation was, Lisa, you're no longer above anyone here, because we are all part of this show. And Lisa doesn't bring the drama to the show, you know?
Right, right. Exactly. She's just the matriarch. She's just almost elevated from it in so many ways.
But yeah, I think that they are on an equal level in most ways, you know, and she needs them and they need her because she started the show, but she definitely needs them.
Yeah. Well, and now they're expanding Tom Tom into this garden area. So if she's going to continue developing this business relationship with Tom and Tom, she's going to have to start showing them a little bit more respect in many ways.
Also, it was interesting because I know we covered this on the Daily Dish on BravoTV.com, but the producers were like, we have a theory as to why Jax was acting out, you know, toward the end of the season. And that's that, you know, the whole season we were building up to Jax's wedding. So he was very much in the center of things. But that when Jax is no longer in the center of things, he's sort of, I think, just naturally, without even maybe being conscious of it, starts making drama. So the focus is back on him.
Yeah, right. Well, actually, going back to your earlier point, too, about being a Jax apologist, I think Brittany needs to be prepared to defend Jax for the rest of their relationship. Like, that is something...
1,000%.
That's a choice she's going to have to make every single day. Because, I'm sorry, she married Jax Taylor. Like, what do you expect? And it sucks to be in that position, because I think we've seen her getting so upset in the latest episodes because Jax is spiraling. He's going back to his old ways. And I think she feels like they've come such a long way, especially through this marriage and everything that they're going through. And she doesn't want to have to do that all the time, but I think that's just going to be their future.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Can we talk about what we learned about James and his mom?
Had I not have gotten sober last year, I wouldn't have gotten my job, wouldn't have got the health insurance. With the health insurance, I book the mammogram and I get the phone call. Cancer, you know? So, like, everything happens so fast, and now we're sitting here, and it's all done. Double mastectomy out. You know?
Really?
And I'm not sick. That was really lucky.
Oh, so yeah, James and his mom, you know, we really have, last season especially, followed their relationship, and it's very up and down. But now we find that they're in a good place because she's sober, he's sober, and she just had a double mastectomy because she had breast cancer.
I mean, it's truly sobriety saved her life.
That was a very powerful moment, her explaining that.
I was so emotional watching that because, I mean, we've seen James cry plenty, right, over the course of his time on the show. But when it comes to something like that, something that's so real, and it's your mom, and then that they're going through this sobriety journey together. I mean, it was really something that just, it hit me in a way that I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe they've been going through this and we're only now learning about it in the finale. You know, I didn't think that we were, I kind of figured we would have gotten that earlier on this season, but I guess maybe they wanted to keep it private. A lot of people who do go through something like what she went through maybe prefer to keep it private before they, you know, reveal too much. But damn.
Yeah, just, I don't know. I also feel like he sort of, in a way, got my MVP for this episode because, you know, watching him in that way with his mom and, like, kind of understanding what he's been going through, but then to see the way that he apologized to Randall, I thought it was really nice to see that. And I hope he sticks to it, you know, that sobriety is the thing that keeps him from making just these really terrible comments about people.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I hope he continues on this journey. And it seems like with someone like Raquel by his side, he'll be able to stay strong. I think she's been such a great support system for him. And I actually interviewed both Charlie, who you guys will hear later on in this episode, and Danica, which will come out in a future episode, probably next week. And they talk a little bit about James and Raquel and just the journey that he's been on, how their relationship has helped him. And there's some really good insight there. Oh my God, wait, last thought on Vanderpump Rules? It wasn't Stassi who said that.
I really don't understand where Stassi Bad Credit Schroeder gets off talking about my house. She's acting like it's cute to be mean.
I know. know. Ariana is going to feel like such an idiot. Well, I mean, Sheena is the one that should. But like, I also feel bad for Stassi because you have to, first of all, sorry, I just have so many thoughts. It's like Ariana just assumed that it was true what Sheena said that Stassi said, to the point that she called her Stassi bad credit Schroeder.
Right.
Which I don't even know what that means. Like, I mean...
Oh my God.
I would assume like money credit, but that's not like something we've seen, you know?
Well, she just bought a really big, nice house. So something tells me her credit is okay.
Yeah. But so then for Stassi to have to defend something that she's like, wait, I'm pretty sure I didn't say this. Like, because you can never be 1000% sure you didn't say something. You're like, well, did I? I mean, I do think it's weird they don't have furniture, but like,
right.
I don't think I would have said that.
Yeah. And this has happened multiple times across several shows. Like Lisa Rinna on Beverly Hills a few seasons ago. I don't ever remember saying that. And then there's the shady flashback, you know, footage of her saying something. But I mean, think about it. All of the conversations that we have all day long, months go by sometimes. We forget that we've said one thing. So, you know, for all Stassi knew, she was like, maybe I did say that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was Lala.
I also just think that Ariana has got to get over it. She's just been so sensitive about these things. And it's like, you can't have cameras film in your home and then be upset that people are like, where's your furniture?
Right. Yeah. I mean, you need furniture, right? Like,
you need furniture.
You do. I think they have a bunch now. From what I've seen on some of our BravoTV.com articles and in their stories on Instagram, I think they've got some furniture now. Oh, I hope, because they're all stuck at home.
No kidding.
Let's make a prediction on who is going to be in the hot seat first at the Vanderpump Rules reunion.
Ooh, I feel like Jax.
Definitely.
Is that really who you think?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe he would be in the hot seat closer to the end. Maybe they'll start lighter.
Yeah.
And it would be Sandoval. Could be Sandoval. So I spoke with Charlie Burnett from Vanderpump Rules, and we talked a little bit about what her dating life is like now. Spoiler alert, she does have a boyfriend. Some of her friendships on the show, and why she was happy that she picked Tom and Ariana's pool party over Jax's. Here's that interview. All right, guys, we are here with Charlie Burnett from Vanderpump Rules. Hey, Charlie.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good. How are you? I know we just caught you from a run.
Yes, I was a little stressed out this morning, and I was sitting on my balcony at my boyfriend's house, and I was like, I could see the beach from here. Why don't I just go run there and get all of my energy out? And it honestly worked. I feel so much better now.
That's so good. Okay, so the burning question, it's quarantine. Things are weird. Have you been eating a lot of pasta like the rest of us?
Okay, so when I went to the grocery store and saw that pasta was the first thing gone, I was like, Jesus Christ, I really should have rethought my statement. I've honestly been living off, like, the two bad things I've been eating nonstop are pizza and peanut butter and jellies. Like, those are my two. Yes, I can, like, my boyfriend didn't believe me at first when we went grocery shopping. I was like, honestly, I could probably live off this entire quarantine, all PB&Js.
Oh,
like,
my
10
God.
Days in. He, like, looked at me, and he was like, you weren't joking. And I was like, no.
You're like the no.
Best thing. I could, yeah. So it's like, I guess like pizza is just like pasta, you know?
Right.
It's like one bite for another bite. So exactly. Yeah. It's like pasta and pizza are the same thing. So.
Okay. So boyfriend, what can you tell us about the boyfriend? Because I'm not sure we knew about that.
No. So I was single filming Vanderpump. And I actually, my boyfriend at the time of Vanderpump was my ex-boyfriend. We actually took a break prior to filming, probably around like January this time last year, and we actually got back together the end of August, September, so like towards the end of filming. And yeah, so he was my boyfriend for 2 years. We broke up because he lives in Carlsbad and I live in Venice, and it was just too hard to kind of like go back and forth, and I'm so busy with all my jobs that I don't really have time to, you know, have a long distance relationship. So we decided to take a break and break up, and I honestly thought it was permanent. And I did the show, and then towards the end of the show, I actually started missing him. I think like being around all the crazy people and learning so much about myself, and like honestly seeing everyone's kind of like bad relationships. I was like, you know, my relationship wasn't that bad and we loved each other. It was just the distance. So we decided to give it another shot. And here I am.
That is
in a relationship again.
So basically being a part of the show, watching everybody in their relationships and watching all the crazy put things into perspective for you.
Yeah, because like we, you know, we literally never had any issues. Like we were perfectly perfect. Even when we had long distance, it wasn't an issue. It was more like an adult conversation. Like, hey, let's look at this realistically. Like, are you going to live in LA for the next 8 years, 10 years, you know, are you going to move back? And he said no. So I was like, okay, like, I don't want to hold you back from a city that you like to like learn and like new, like meet new people and like thrive in. And you're not going to be able to do that if you're with me in LA all the time. And honestly, obviously he didn't find anyone to replace. No, I'm just kidding. So that's why he, you know, obviously no one in San Diego was good enough, but you know, and now we're here and it's like, I saw everyone and saw how big their actual issues were. And like from like cheating to like communication. And I never had to deal with that. So it was like, you kind of have to pick your pros and cons as an adult and see what's worth it. And he's worth it. So
yeah. Oh, that's super sweet. Yeah. Now, does he watch the show back with you? And like, what are his thoughts as he's watching all of this?
Well, he actually does. He's the one that like watches or wants to watch it more than I do. And I think it's because he wants to see me single. It's such a different world from him because he's never, even like prior to dating him, I was so, how do I say this? He was like the third guy I've ever been with in my life when I met him. So when he broke up with me, I went through this like, woo, you know, this woo phase. And,
yeah.
And I, you know, I was dating random guys, like didn't care. And he wanted to really see my date with Brett.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually like ironically likes Brett. Like after watching all of his like scenes and stuff, he's like, you know what? Brett's one of my favorite guys on the show. And I'm like, the irony. Like,
right.
The guy that asked me out ended up being like your favorite. Okay.
Go on any other dates with Brett other than the one that we saw?
I wouldn't say dates, but Brett and I did hang out. It wasn't just like we met each other at work. He thought I was cute and he asked me out on a date. Like he came to my club a few times with Sheena. I think I met him and I like went to Tom Tom and like hung out after work a few times. I can't like really remember the exact timeline, but like, so we hung out and like, we got to know each other and then he kind of just like asked me out. So that's kind of how it happened.
Right. I want to go back to, you mentioned like all of the jobs that you have. And we know, at least from the show, that you had two restaurant jobs. So you work at both Hyde and Sir. So what is the culture like at Hyde? Is it similar to Sir? Is everyone in relationships? Are they all involved in each other's lives as much there?
So I worked at Hyde as like a cocktail waitress from 7 to 10. And it was basically the girls who kind of like came and got free drinks before they entered the club. Mm-hmm. So like my relationship with everyone there, it was like only one or two girls worked a four shift. So sometimes I was by myself with the other friend, but my other club job at the time, which was 3110, it was, yeah, it was definitely like Sir. We were all in each other's business. So many people dated. And I think in nightlife, when you're a bottle server, it's more like the guys who continuously come in are the ones that a lot of girls have relationships with, you know? I've had times where I've had a guy come get a table and it was a guy I was talking to and like stopped talking to and now he's coming to my section with like 10 girls and to us a lot. So that's a little hard to deal with, but Sir is definitely its own beast, I would say, though.
Would you ever want to work at any of Lisa's other restaurants?
I actually tried to convince them to switch me middle of the season when I became Max's friend to Tom Tom because I really like Melissa and Brett and JoJo, like a lot of people that I became friends with over the season more. So I was like, please switch me to Tom Tom because like I want to hang out with everyone there and I like them more, but they wouldn't let me because I'm new. So we'll see. I think I have to like pay dues or something. I started working at Sir for a few months. So I feel like being a new girl working at Sir and then being like, hey, I want to go to the cooler new restaurant isn't the way it's going to work.
Right. Well, I mean, at least now we know Tom Tom is expanding. There's going to be like the garden area. So maybe there'll be, you know, an opportunity there for you.
Exactly. And I told him that. And Max was like, I don't know, you're going to be trouble. And I was like, dude, I promise I won't hook up with you.
I think trouble is actually Danica. I don't think they really have to worry about you as much.
Yeah, I feel like besides offering people desserts that I like more than the other, that's all we have to worry about.
Right, exactly. I want to talk a little bit about the pool party situation, because obviously that was a lot of drama. You went to Tom and Ariana's party, so how was that?
I love Tom and Ariana one. I felt like their party was basically like the cool aunt and uncle of the group, you know, inviting us to their cool house for the first time. So I was A, like very happy that I got invited, and B, it was one of the funnest times I had filming all season. Like, everyone was such in good spirits. No one was, like, judging each other. Everyone was, like, letting loose and taking shots out of Jaeger bottles and, like, twerking everywhere. So it really felt like the first time, besides, like, the softball game, in my opinion, and the night we had out in Nightingale, where everyone was just being themselves.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel like a lot of the time it's really hard with so many different castmates and so many different ages for people to really understand. Like, you know, I was 24 at the time, just turned 25. Like, I like to rage and scream and blow whistles for no reason, because, like, that's just what I do at my age. But sometimes, like, a 30, you know, someone that's a little bit older or in their 30s or 40s probably thinks that's a little bit more, like, arrogant. So it was, like, really fun to just be, like, you know, because, like, Katie was there and, like, acting crazy, and, like, all the Toms were, and I mean,
pretty much a lot of people.
Was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, everyone besides, like, the really boring people were there, and it was, like, a really good time. And, like I said, I just like to be in environments where I can be myself and act silly and crazy and do crazy things, and I'm not going to be, like, judged for having fun.
Of course. I have to ask about your take on the love triangle of the season. So, Brett, Dana, Mac, I mean, you were witness to so much of this over the course of the season. So what was that journey like for you to watch?
I think that I was more, like, disappointed in Brett than I told him I was. We had, like, a really big blowout that wasn't on camera. And I think the rest of the season kind of felt like I was just, like, picking on him because I was being a bitch. But I really was mad at Brett, because I kind of felt like, did you ask me out because you genuinely liked me, or you were just doing it to do it? So when he asked out Dana, I felt like, oh, great, I'm just another number. You know how, like, some guys, and I'm great with Brett now, and, like, we have no beef, but, you know, at the time it felt like, oh, okay, cool, dude, are you just, like, another dude in LA that's new to the city, just trying to get the number game? Like, whoever says yes is going to work. And, like, I have a lot of worth to myself. And, like, me going out to lunch with someone and taking time out of my day meant a lot to me. So when I was witnessing this love triangle, I was just really, I think, more hurt and more embarrassed than I communicated to him. And I just kind of came off of, like, I hate you, don't talk to me.
Right.
You know? And then, like, I was confused by, like, Dana's behalf. And I really was just like, okay, you know, how many guys are there in this city? And how many guys are there alone in West Hollywood? Like, to pick the two closest guys in our vicinity, it's obviously there's some calculated or backing to that reason. And I knew that now that I'm friends with Max, that, like, I think he was just like me. Like, we didn't communicate how we properly felt, so it came off the wrong ways.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all learned that this season, how to communicate better next.
Another component of the love triangle was Sheena. So do you think, from your perspective, that Sheena was stirring the pot in the situation of the love triangle, or was she just sort of there?
I think everyone had their time of stirring the pot differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I feel like we might have done it subconsciously or consciously, and I can't really say that for certain individuals, but I think that at some point, Sheena probably was like me, like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I'm going to call it out because it's weird. If no one's going to say it, I'm going to say it, even if it makes me look bad. And I think that's where Sheena was coming from. And she was trying to speak for Max's defense because, like I said, Max didn't communicate properly. So she was like, well, this is what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I did that too, you know, when I was like, oh, everyone's being thirsty, because it does feel like that. Like I said, there's so many guys in LA. So to pick the two best friends, it's like, something's a little off here.
How are you and Sheena today? Are you guys very close?
Actually, you know, Sheena, I got really, really close to Sheena over this, like, past season and even after the season. And I feel like she is my closest friend on the cast right now. And I honestly didn't see that happening. I thought it was going to be totally opposite and I was going to be Dana, because usually two girls who are similar and, like, kind of have the same likes and dislikes don't really get along. So our friendship surprised me. And I don't mind it. You know, like, Sheena's been really good to me, and Sheena's a really good person and has helped a lot of people. And I've seen them just backstab her over and over again. And I think that's where I was at when I had the whole conversation with Brett, and she wasn't seeing it yet. And I was just like, dude, let's pick each other and not boys, because I guarantee you this guy's going to backstab you over me any day. You know, and then it ended up happening. And I call shit like that all the time, even if people don't like me for it or don't want to be my friend, but I'm going to tell you the truth. So I was like I said, we had a big blowout, me, Brett, and her, and I was really upset, and I communicated to her, and we had a whole, like, at my club, she came and got a table for me. And like after my club, I think we got like wasted together. And we were just like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm so glad we're good now. So
you're speaking of people who are similar. There is a moment in the finale where we meet Kara, the server from Vegas. People were saying she's like a mini Sheena. She makes quite a splash at the anniversary party. So what is your take on Kara? Was that the first time you had met her?
I'm sure she's a really nice girl, but you know, I didn't really talk to her that day, and she kind of seemed a little different to me. And I don't know if it was because everyone was drinking all day or having a lot of alcohol. You know, I don't really know much. But
did you see the situation between her and Danica, where Danica approached her because she was like listening in on Stassi and Ariana's conversation?
I was there. I was on the side. That girl was, she was doing a lot of things at that party, and I think that was like the last straw, and just Danica was the one to say something. But like, I mean, she was like drunk in the bathroom on the floor crying when me and like another girl went into the bathroom, and that's when I like kind of told someone like, hey, like, is she okay? Like, this is a random girl from Vegas. I know how uncomfortable I feel in parties, so she's probably drunk because she got uncomfortable. But then when I saw that altercation, I was like, this kind of seems like a girl who's trying to fight her way on a chance of a TV show, and I don't really talk to people like that. Like, I don't really like girls who are calculated and thirsty to get attention.
Right.
So I was just like, I'm good off the Vegas one. I don't even know, because I was like, ooh, you know how like those dogs in the shelter, the scary ones that like, so you're like, oh, it's cute. And like, you go pet it and it bites you. I'm like, oh.
Right. You're like, oh, okay. I'm like, oh. Not that one.
Yeah, I'm like, next dog. Yeah. You're super cute from over there. But like, I'm okay off that.
Right.
But who knows? Like, what if we go to Vegas one day and I become her friend? Like, I'm just saying, like, I've never spoken to her. So it's really hard. And I think in Vanderpump Rules, you get put into these random scenarios with a lot of people having history and a lot of people not having history with people. So people have situations where they act out or they say something, and from your perspective, you don't know this person, so you kind of find it odd or negative, but then there's history to it, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I didn't find out till way after when Sheena told me more about this girl. Like, I didn't, like, you know, so it's like months later, I didn't even know who she really was until Sheena kind of gave me a gist of her. So at the party, I was like, you know, but maybe if I knew her backing, I'd be like, hey, like, oh, you're a new girl like me, let's be friends. But since I didn't know that, and all I saw was like weird actions and then her fighting with my friend at the time, I was like, ooh, you know.
Yeah, okay. you had no context as to who she was or what was going on, really. I want to talk a little bit about the reunion. So you had a pretty unconventional first reunion experience in that it was virtual. So can you talk a little bit about what it was like?
Well, one, it was really hard because we had to be our own production, lighting, sound, the whole nine yards. And you had a studio in your apartment or house for like a week. And I don't have a huge apartment with my boyfriend, so it was definitely not the funnest to have camera crew in my house. I can't really compare it because this was my first one. I feel like it's really hard to express your opinion or get your point across or really understand people's mannerisms over the internet.
Right.
You know, people could put facades, you could be more comfortable in your house. I was super uncomfortable, like I said. Like, my circumstances sucked. I was at my boyfriend's. I didn't have any, like, of my regular clothes or makeup with me. Like, I just had to make what I had work. And it was really hard for me to hear and understand people when they were speaking to me, because you know how Zoom picks up another person's sound and puts the person on the screen? A lot of the times, I think when someone was talking to me, like, someone asked, like, Jax or Kristen would interrupt because they just kept interrupting the new people because it's their show. So it's like someone would be talking to me and then I would hear something and I would understand what I was being like what I was being asked or like someone was saying to me. I think I fumbled a few times and probably sounded a little silly, but overall, I think it was more relaxed than I thought it was going to be.
Okay, that's interesting, because I mean, the way the season ends, you know, there's obviously a lot of tension among the OGs and there's a lot of friendships that are strained. So from your experience, do you think a lot of people walked away from the reunion with any resolution, or do you think there was still a lot of stuff that was left unsaid?
I think that there was a lot of resolution, but a lot of things left unsaid.
Okay.
Like, I think that everyone did, or like maybe the few people I spoke to felt like my same problem, that it's really hard to get your point across on the internet, you know, especially when we're all trying to take our time on Zoom and hear people correctly and get your statement across. Like, rather than in person, I feel like we're feeding off each other's energy, and, you know, it's like quicker, and like people were able to like barge in correctly, you know? So it's but like I said, I'm honestly super grateful that I had the opportunity, and it was still fun and it was so cool. Like, I wish I would have met Andy in person, but over online was just as cool. So.
Well, you looked great. I've seen the pictures. Everyone, I know on BravoTV.com, we have everyone's reunion look. So you looked fantastic. So don't even worry about that.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. And I also have to say, you have some of the best one-liners in your interview moments. So I want to talk a little bit about when you're in the interview chair, like, what is that process like? And, you know, how do you sort of respond to the situations when, you know, production brings it up?
You know, I really noticed that I had some crazy shit that comes out of my mouth after the I think I've heard some people say like, oh, she plans it or she tries to be funny. But like, I honestly just say what's on my mind and then forget that I'm on reality shows and that it could be twisted and different. But, you know, those interviews are a long time. And I'm sitting on a little stool and I'm hot and I'm hungry and I probably have maybe one drink, you know. So, and they ask you so many questions that sometimes I just say shit to get it over with and thinking that they're not going to even use it. You know, they told me, I've had some people like, hey, the cheesecake part happened so fast that I didn't even know I said that.
Oh my God.
I didn't even see that part. And my old pageant mom's friend actually messaged me and she was like, hey, like, do you know you're trending about cheesecake? And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And then I like look into my private DMs and there's like floods of cheesecake memes. And I'm just like,
Oh my God.
Like, really watch what I say, or, you know, I'm just going to accept who I am and just realize that I just have some crazy shit that comes out of my mouth. You know?
Just embrace it.
Yeah. Because like, I can't change it. And I think that like whenever I heard my friends, I always say like, you're crazy. Or like, you just say, you know, whatever you want. And I just, now that it's on TV, it's just on a bigger scale of being judged.
In relation to the show, like, have you said anything in your interviews that have gotten you in trouble with anyone in the cast? Because that happens a lot with people that I talk to. They're like, oh, everything was fine until, you know, they saw that interview moment where I said something and then it caused a whole new set of problems with me and somebody.
No, I think that in the reunion, they brought up the thing I said about Lala and like James. And I was trying to explain my point to Lala, and she didn't have a problem with it from what I saw, but trying to explain to her that like, hey, the reason why I said that was because I was a new girl sitting with James and Raquel, didn't really know history or depth in the situation. I was just, all I was told was, you were James X's girlfriend, you don't like them anymore, there's some problems. Like, that's literally all I was told. I was saying, and I was trying to explain to Lala, I think I got interrupted, was like, hey, you're a type of person that I relate to on the cast because we have a lot of similarities. We have like the same career path. We have like, you know, I feel like her and Sheena are the two girls I like relate to most to the cast. So when I was saying that, I was saying like, from my perspective of like, I don't fucking like my boyfriend's ex-girlfriends, and I damn for sure don't like them around. And I'm not going to sit there and act like I'm not. Like, I'm not going to ever be that girl that's like, oh, you know, it's so cool, we just hang out with his ex-girlfriend. Like, I don't care how insecure that makes me, I just don't like it. So when I was seeing that with Lala, I was like, oh, this girl's like me. It's probably because she don't fucking like Raquel, and that's just okay. You know what I'm saying?
And right, like, right.
And the whole liking thing, it's like, by liking, it's like you can like someone or love someone but not be attracted to them. You know what I'm saying? Just have love for them, but still, like, hate certain parts of them, and their parts of them could be their ex-girlfriend. And like, I just found a lot of similarities in myself in that situation.
Yeah.
So, and it didn't get me in trouble, and I think Dana, Kristen and that whole podcast with Sheena talked to me about it. I guess she was offended that I said that me, Sheena and Raquel were the prettiest and like the best dressed of like the entire cast, but like, It was my first one, and I had a driver, and I had a great day. I think I booked a job that day, so I was like, let's pop bottles. Like, let's get cute. Let's get f***ed up and talk. I thought it was, like, this fun, who cares experience that nothing I said, because everyone kind of understood each other, that this was, like, our talk shit, you know, time. And when she, like, expressed her opinions about me on Sheena's podcast, I was, like, A, super disappointed, and B, like, it was no offense to Kristen. Like, honestly, I forget that Kristen was even on the show or part of the cast because I never met her. I met her one time super briefly. I think I said hi to the girl one time at the beach, and then that's it. We never spoke again. So it was like when she expressed how much she hated me and how all this dislike off of that one comment, I was like, okay, you know, I'm not going to fight with you, but also, like, I'm always responsible for what I say, not how it makes you feel. And if you were offended by that, then by all means, girl, that has nothing to do with me, you know?
Right. Yeah. Well, Charlie, thank you so much for chatting today. This has been super fun. I'm really excited to see the reunion. I hope you and your boyfriend enjoy the rest of this quarantine and that studio's out of your apartment now, so you have more room. Keep running. Have some pasta. All that good stuff.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
Okay, let's talk Roni.
So, Eric, last week on the podcast, you were saying that you really feel Ramona has turned over this new leaf and she is, like, such a good person and anything you want to say.
Okay, well, I don't take it back necessarily, but it's so funny that you say that because when I interviewed Dorinda, I mentioned that to her too. And she goes, really? Are you sure? And I was like, well, okay, hear me out for a second. I think we're seeing her be a little bit softer, be a little bit gentler. It's probably not going to last according to the preview for what goes down in Newport between her and Leah, according to some of her behavior in this week's episode. But I don't know. I think this was not a great showing for Ramona.
I am who I am.
I know, like, but I don't know if you, I can.
Okay,
I don't
you
know.
You might not like me then. You know
You're
what
right,
I mean?
Because I don't like that behavior.
Well, speaking of Ramona being softer, she says that Sonia is looking softer and needs to lose 10 pounds.
Right. And Sonia's like, thanks. But, you know, Ramona is that type of person. Like, she has no filter. She'll say what's on her mind. It's gotten her in trouble so many times. But also, like, that you can't say things like that to your friends, you know?
I will say, I think growth for Ramona is that she didn't say it on camera. She said it at the bathhouse, I think, after they had finished filming.
What did you think about the bathhouse? Like, let's just go back to, like, you're walking down the street. Somebody gave you this address. They were like, come to this really amazing spa. You get there, and that's what you're presented with.
So I've never been to one, right? But I do know that they sort of, there's a range. And, like, I'm thinking of the really high-end, like, air, you know, sort of bathhouse.
Mm-hmm.
But this is definitely on the other end of the spectrum, right? Like, kind of down and dirty.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I feel like I'd be apprehensive at first, and then I'd be like, you know what? I'm cool with this. I had a friend of mine visiting from LA and I brought her up there because I wanted to just, like, show her around the office, but also show her, like, this other cool area. And I wanted her to meet you. She's from Los Angeles, so she's very used to just talking to everybody. Doesn't always, like, fit in the New York City vibe, but she was downtown wandering in this area, asking strangers where she could find this bathhouse that she was looking for. Now, mind you, most New Yorkers are not going to be very responsive when a stranger asks you where a bathhouse is, because there's a couple different kinds of bathhouses, right?
Right.
Like, you're putting it, it's a little risky asking that question.
Especially, I feel, back in, like, the 80s or earlier, the Village in particular
yes,
was a very, you know, a bathhouse was a place where men liked to go and, you know,
hang out, meet people,
and do things that you do when you're in love with another man.
Fun fact, Bette Midler got her start singing at some of those bathhouses.
I feel like you've mentioned that on this podcast.
I probably have.
No, but I'm glad you're saying it again. It's a good factoid.
And I will say, too, about this whole Russian bathhouse experience, living here in New York, I think I understand what they mean about uptown versus downtown. And downtown below 14th, like down in Financial District, it can feel a little bit like Gotham City. You know, it is very different down there than most other parts of the city. So I do get why some of the women are like, I don't know, I don't really go down there. I don't even really go down there that much. So there are some stereotypes, I think, that need to be broken, but I do see where they're coming from.
Is this your idea? Yep. Oh, God, I should have known.
Why? How are you? Because you're like below 14th Street?
Yeah. I said I'm in graffiti land. There's graffiti everywhere. Gates down in the middle of the day. I mean, I avoid those areas uptown. And that's the way it is everywhere downtown.
So I just feel like Dorinda's having a bit of a rough season. And she's not really doing herself any favors. And in this episode, I feel like was a great example of that, where Ramona is like, look, friend to friend, which, by the way, it's the, remember when Bethany always did like the best impersonations of Ramona, where she's like, I love you, I adore you. But like, it's just like, but she's like, I love you, I adore you, but you're mean. And you just go right for the jugular whenever you're arguing with someone. And instead of even just taking a beat, Dorinda's like, well, you should know, you do it all the time.
Mm-hmm. But I realize that for some reason you have a pattern. And I love you, don't get me wrong. And when someone upsets you, you go for the jugular, you go below the belt and you really hurt people. And I don't think you even realize you do it. And I think after you do it, you feel bad about it.
But you do it all the time, so you should recognize it very well. Mm-hmm. You do it all the time.
What are you doing, Dorinda?
I mean, I think that is a classic case of deflection.
Yeah.
You know, and then, well, then Ramona brings up Cartagena, and it just, that conversation did not go, I think, in the way that Leah intended it to go, which was too bad because there were things that were left unsaid that probably should have been said, especially between Tinsley and Dorinda. Tinsley didn't even really talk at all.
Yeah.
I was like, girl, you need to open your mouth and defend yourself or something, but I guess she just, like, didn't want to start any drama in this bathhouse. Can we talk about Leah's sister, Sarah, and how beautiful she is?
She also looks familiar to me.
I know. That's funny you say that because I think Danny said that as we were watching this episode. And I was like, is it a model? Is it an actress that she looks like? Or have I seen, is she a model?
Yeah.
Have I seen her somewhere? She's also one of those girls who really can pull off bangs.
Does that mean you have strong opinions about girls who can't pull off bangs?
Well, we've talked about, you know, Kyle Richards.
Oh, and yes.
Her experience with bangs this season. Now we know it was because of the Halloween movie, whatever. But, you know, bangs are a risk that not all should take.
Correct.
I feel like a lot of people can agree with us on that one.
My friend gave herself bangs in self-quarantine.
No, this is not the time.
I know.
Not the time. What happened at the end of this episode with this cocktail party? I mean, that was a mess.
It was, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I guess I just don't feel like, aside from Sonia, I'm not really strongly feeling like I'm on anyone's side.
Yeah, I agree. I think in this particular circumstance, no. But I kind of just felt bad for these other ladies who came over to Ramona's nice place for a cocktail party, and then all of a sudden it was just like 0 to 100.
I just love the like, we're leaving, and then like, no, we're coming back.
They didn't even get their stuff. they just went into the hallway, and Elise was like, can we go back inside, please? Well, as a native Rhode Islander, I'm excited for next week's episode because they go to Newport, and I remember seeing a lot of pictures that the ladies were posting on social media from this trip, and there was all sorts of speculation on the who's that brunette, which now we know is Elise. I didn't think Tinsley was on that trip, but then I caught her in the background on some of those. So,
oh yeah, she's definitely on this trip.
And I can't wait to see Leah unleash once again, because it seems like she's got liquored up or something, and she just unleashes on Ramona. Should we do Rose and Thorn?
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Let's do it. So my Rose is absolutely Randall from Vanderpump Rules, that I just felt he was so gracious when James apologized, and he could have been such a dick about it. But I feel like we've gotten these glimpses of Randall, or Rand, as Lala calls him. And he honestly just seems like such a good guy.
Yeah. I agree.
What was your rose?
My rose is also from Vanderpump Rules, and it was the appearance of Kara from the Vegas Cocktail Garden, because she was quite a piece of work. And it's funny because when I interviewed Sheena a few months ago, she mentioned something about a mini Sheena that was going to show up later on in the season. And she was like, oh, just you wait until you see what goes down with this girl. And I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to see it. So I finally got to meet Kara, and she left quite an impression, to say the least.
I mean, the girl also like went to work in this episode. She's like, I will make sure everyone knows who I am.
Kara literally looks so much like me. I mean, from the jet black hair to the coffin nails, to her cute little nose scrunch.
We gotta get a selfie.
This girl is literally me circa 2012. And I gotta say, she's hot.
It's true. And actually, next week, you'll hear a little bit more about the interaction she had with Danica in Danica's interview. It was really funny. Okay, what was your thorn?
My thorn was the matching, the Lisa Rinna and Erica Jayne wearing the exact same pink suits at Erica's party. Like, they obviously didn't mean to, but it's also like how Kyle was going to buy this Rachel Zoe suit. And then was like, oh, well, Lisa Rinna bought it. So now I'm not going. I think they just get gifted, maybe, the same outfits.
Yeah, that's true.
Or maybe they did buy them and it's just a coincidence.
I don't believe in coincidence.
What was your thorn?
Okay, my thorn also comes from Vanderpump Rules. And it is the fact that if Stassi can abbreviate words and throw the term basic around, why can't Kristen say thrive?
By the way, who uses the word thrive?
Let her have it. I feel bad for Kristen.
I do too. Let her have that.
Let her have it.
But also don't feel bad for her. She has a new boyfriend who's super wealthy.
That's true. And she's been posting pictures of him on Instagram. We hadn't seen him, I don't think.
He's cute.
And just this past weekend, she was posting pictures. He is cute.
Like, I can't believe she's going to end up being the richest one.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
If I were her, I'd get pregnant. Now.
Start working on it. Quarantine is the time. Next week, we have interviews with Jasmine Johnson from Married to Medicine Los Angeles and Danica Dow from Vanderpump Rules.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long. You can find us on Instagram at Bravo Daily Dish.
And on Twitter at Bravo TV. Just don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm everywhere at Eric J. Mack. That's E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out.
You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss me.